Good evening, and welcome to the evening service, our renewed evening service at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. It's really good to be joining with you again this evening as we close out this Lord's Day, gathering together again as we did this morning, gathering to worship our God. And we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper this evening. Details on how we're going to celebrate the supper are printed in your bulletins. I think most of you were here the last time when we celebrated the Lord's Supper in the morning, and we'll be doing it in the same way we did then, but I'll give more details on that when we gather together. So as we come into the presence of our God, I put my Bible. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all of the earth. And let us sing, let us shout to our God with loud songs of joy using hymn number 57, which is in the back of your bulletins, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Let us stand as we sing. Let us pray. Hallelujah, Lord, we bring our praises to you this evening. We bring you praises that you have called us to worship you, that you have enabled us to worship you. Lord, we ask that you will be present by your Spirit with us, inhabit our praises, be with us as we celebrate your word, as we hear it, as we meditate on it. Feed us with it, Lord, and feed us in the sacrament of your supper this evening. Unite us together by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Since this is communion tonight, we won't have our hymn selection, but we'll just go right to prayer. And then in the future, we'll have printed hymns like we do in the morning, since we don't have hymnals, unless we put the hymnals in the pews. Let me remind you of a few things from this morning. Obviously, we're thankful that we can be together again for evening worship, and also to celebrate the Lord's Supper the second time since it was ceased because of the COVID-19 virus. There was a message, too, from Matt. I won't say his last name, but in Asia, because I don't know if we're on the internet or not. But anyway, they are quarantined because someone in their immediate household, not his household, but in the building below them, has COVID-19. So they, apparently the police come and cordon off the whole area. So we should be praying for them that they can still minister to the people there. And then there were several home missionary items. Keys Presbyterian Church, Key West, Pastor Welzine apparently is retiring, and they're looking for a new man there. And he's had quite a ministry of outreach to the people at Key West. Also, Bob and Grace Hold, Resurrection Presbyterian Church in Oshkosh. They're starting Sunday school. And Firelands Grace OPC, they're becoming a new and separate congregation, which is what our goal is also for Grace OPC in Downingtown. And then also the Neon OPC Church is seeking to reach out to the addiction center next door. We also had a request this morning. Pete Hyde, he is thankful for successful surgery for the one eye, and he's having the other eye operated on the 13th, so a week from tomorrow. And he is very thankful for all the support from Emmanuel. Thankful for our freedoms. Also for we have our presbytery meeting at this church next Saturday, so we should pray for that. And then Karen Daly had a request for her brother-in-law's father, Dave Smickler, who had a biking accident, has a brain bleed. And then maybe, Ruth, you could give a quick update on Audrey.
Yes, Audrey asked prayer for her anxiety level, that God will give her peace about the DCT treatments that she will start Lord willing on Wednesday, and also that they will be effective in dealing with her depression and mental illness.
Are there other requests? Yes, Chris.
Pray for all of me and pray for me that I get pray that all of these problems.
Okay. Others? Yeah, Louise.
Pray for a negative COVID test from the youngest of Boston, of Virginia. Only 18 months, she had a fever for 4 days and they broke everything else out. So just protections for Pam and the rest of them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, and along that line, Ruth and I are traveling to a wedding next weekend in Iowa as well, so with being on airplanes and at the wedding, I'm not overly concerned, but we'll just be careful and hopefully don't get anything. Tom. So prayer for Tom's mother-in-law. The third of the people at the home have the virus. Yes, Ellen? Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. So thanksgiving for the progress with melanoma treatment and continued prayer for that and also the breast cancer treatment. Was there someone else here? Okay. Anyone else? I'll begin and then I'll give time for you to bring these items in prayer and then I'll close. Let's go to prayer. Lord, we come to you this evening with thanksgiving, Lord, that you have shown your face upon us, O Lord, that you even speak to us in ways that we can understand. As we heard this morning in the sermon, you relate to us in anthropomorphic terms, saying you have face and hands, and O Lord, we understand that. And are thankful, Lord, that we can come before you as your people. And that, O Lord, we can come freely because you have given us access through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who, because of his human nature, has face and hands and a body. And, Lord, we praise you and glorify you that we can rest in Jesus Christ, who is resurrected and at your right hand. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have tonight to gather together again in worship. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity again, too, to have the Lord's Supper celebrated. Lord, you have truly been a blessing and continue to bless us. We thank you. We pray, Lord, for the churches who are opening up, and I pray, Lord, for this nation, too, as we give you thanks for the freedoms that we enjoy. I pray, Lord, that we would use them well and that we would use these freedoms, O Lord, to honor you and to use it to spread the gospel as well in our communities and beyond. Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayers now as we bring them to you.
Our Lord God, some kind of virus, or whatever it is, where we can pray that it would not have to be COVID.
Lord, we bring to you before you also the works that were mentioned this morning, Keys Presbyterian Church. Oh Lord, as they seek a replacement for Pastor Welzine, Lord, that you'd be also with Grace, Bob and Grace Holt, the Resurrection Presbyterian Church in Oshkosh, as they seek to start a new Sunday school in September, that they have wisdom in picking curriculum and teachers. Lord, too, that you'd be with the Firelands Grace OPC and Larry and Kaylin, as and we thank you for the blessing that they can become a new and separate congregation. We pray, Lord, too, for the Bennetts and Neon OPC in Kentucky, Lord, as they minister to the Addiction Center next door. We pray, Lord, too, for our own ministry here as we seek in a difficult time with isolation to reach out to our neighbors and friends. Lord, I pray that your gospel would go forth effectively. And, oh, Lord, that by your Spirit you would draw many to yourself. I pray for Pastor Homeland as he seeks to start a new work in Mountaintop, and for Greg O'Brien in Downingtown. Lord, I pray that you would draw people to them and bless their work. And I pray, Lord, too, that you would continue to be with us as we reach out to our neighbors in this time of isolation. Please be with Pete Hyde. We pray for his continued healing. And as he looks forward to another surgery, I pray that you would bless that. We thank you, Lord, that we can serve one another and minister to each other. We pray, too, for Karen Daly's brother-in-law, Karen Daly's brother-in-law's father, Dave Smickler, that he might recover fully from this brain bleed. Please be with him. And again, with Audrey Heckerman and Leslie Bustard, oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the progress that she has made with the melanoma. We pray, Lord, for continued healing, that you would be with her, guide the doctors and the treatments. And, oh Lord, I pray that they might be effective for both the melanoma and the breast cancer. Lord, we recognize how needy we are, Lord, and how fragile life can be. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with us, that your face would shine upon us, O Lord, and that in all that we do and say, we would bring glory to you. Pray that we would see your hand at work, and, O Lord, that our eyes would be opened to see you at work all around us. I pray, Lord, now that you would be with Pastor Landau as he brings a message from your word to us. May we receive it with joy, O Lord, and that our hearts would be moved to always praise you and glorify your holy name. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You turn now, stand and turn to number 402 in your handout. Abide with me, fast falls the evening time.
Please be seated. Our text this evening comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 84. Last week we read this psalm in the morning service as an example of longing for God's presence as we are looking at Moses, as he was pleading that God's presence would go with the people of Israel. As Stephen Curzon said when he read the psalm, Spurgeon called this little psalm the pearl of the psalms. If you allow me to read a little bit more extended quote of what Spurgeon said, he said, "This sacred ode is one of the choicest of the collection. It has a mild radiance about it, entitling it to be called the pearl of the psalms. If the 23rd be the most popular, the 103rd the most joyful, the 119th the most deeply experimental, and the 51st the most plaintive, this is one of the most sweet of the Psalms of Peace." So let us read this psalm, Psalm 84. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for her young, where she may lay her young, at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you." Amen. Let's pray as we look at this passage. Heavenly Father, as we look at this psalm expressing a deep desire to be in your courts, to be in your presence, may you satisfy us by being present with us this evening. May you put in our hearts a highway to Zion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This psalm opens with the psalmist's deep longing for the presence of God, deep longing to be in the temple of God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. The psalmist's whole being, his soul, his body, his flesh, his heart, all parts of him long to be in the dwelling place of God. Why? Because the dwelling place of God is an utterly lovely place to be. This word is translated as lovely here is closely associated with the word for lover and lovemaking. This is an incredibly intimate description of the dwelling place of the Lord of hosts, the intimacy he desires with the Lord, to be there in that place of love. But there's only one problem that the psalmist has. He's not there. He longs to be there, but he is not there, and he faints for it. He feels the absence of it. In its original context, this psalm was one of a pilgrim psalms, a psalm meditating, desiring for the psalmist to go on pilgrimage, to go from wherever he is to be where the Lord is, whether that's during the normal life of Israel when the regular feasts would happen and the pilgrims would make their way to Jerusalem, to the temple, or in a time of exile when these psalms were originally compiled into a book, when the psalmist writes, people singing the psalm are meditating on how they have been removed from the temple. They cannot be there. Even the temple has been destroyed. They cannot go there. A longing for the temple. Now, the feasts and pilgrimages when Israel would make their way to the temple several times on an annual basis, these feasts were reenactments of great redemptive acts. You'd go through the feast and you'd reenact, in a sense, the great redemptive acts of the past to make them present, to remember them and to make them real for you in the present, such as we spent a long time in our series in Exodus meditating on the Passover, how the Passover is in some sense a reenaction of the Passover events, teaching and imbibing the next generation in the reality of God's redemption, that God's redemption is present for them today because of what was done in the past. But also, in a sense, these pilgrimages to the temple were a reenaction of life itself, because the life of the people of God is a pilgrimage. We go from one place and are headed towards another. We're journeying towards being forever in the presence of God. So the psalmist's meditation on desire to go and be in the presence of God in the temple is a desire to go and be with the Lord forever, to go on pilgrimage, to travel through this life, to be with the Lord in heaven. So this pilgrimage that the psalmist meditates on is one to go and be with people of God. You, all of you, in a sense, came on pilgrimage today. You got out of your house, you got in your cars, and you drove here to be gathered with the people of God. A short pilgrimage for most of you, a little longer for others, but still a pilgrimage you had to make. But in our lives, we have a much longer pilgrimage, which we are on, where we are going, desiring to be in the presence of God in his heavenly temple. But this psalmist is currently not there. He's not in the temple. He's not in God's presence. He's not gathered with God's people. In fact, he's very envious in a good way. He's jealous in a good way of those who are there. those who are already in the presence of God. In fact, he's jealous of the birds. 3 and 4. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. I think this is a marvelous image. Those of you who have, I guess you could say he's jealous of the pigeons, right? But the idea is that he's looking and he sees the birds there nesting under the eaves of the temple, as birds do. Wherever they find a place, birds will make their nests. The farms I grew up in, you'd have the bird's nest there on the eaves of the barn, the barn swallows flitting to and fro, and they are home there. And the psalmist thinks about those birds which can make their nests right there in the temple, right near the altar. How he wishes he could be like the birds, to have his nest there in God's presence and never have to leave, to be at home there, to be like those who keep the temple, like the priests who make their home and dwell there, not just coming for a visit, but to stay there forever. Blessed are those who dwell, who live in your house, ever singing your praise. And blessed are those who go on pilgrimage. Verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. This phrase, I'm meditating on this phrase all week as I've been thinking about it. He's saying, in whose heart is a highway to Zion. In other words, those who have in their very heart a heart of pilgrimage, a heart whose ways are the ways of the Lord, and the ways of the Lord lead to Zion. They have Zion's and pilgrimage embedded in their very hearts. They're oriented towards. That's where they want to go, and that's where they're going. It makes up their direction and who they are. You've heard the phrase, generally a disparagement of someone, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. But as I was meditating on this psalm and on this phrase, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, I was convicted that sometimes I'm not heavenly minded enough, and therefore I'm little earthly good. In whose heart are the highways to Zion. Blessed are those. As these people go on pilgrimage to Zion, they go through, verse 6, the valley of Baca, and they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. As far as we know, we don't know of any actual place called the valley of Baca, and people aren't exactly sure how to translate this word, so they just transliterate it, Baca. But as near as you can tell, there's two real options for translating this word, this valley of Baca. The old translation, if you look at some older translations, they'll translate it as the valley of weeping. The valley of weeping. Or the valley of balsam trees. Balsam trees grow in very dry and arid places. So it seems to be, whatever this valley is, it's not a place you really want to be. It's either a metaphorical place of sadness that you must travel through in your life, in your pilgrimage to Zion. Or it's a place of dryness, a place of lack. But notice what happens when the pilgrims make their way through the valley of Baca, either this place of hardness or this place of dryness. What happens? They, that is the pilgrims, make it a place of springs. As they make their way through these dry valleys, they bring water with them. They bring and make this place places of living and life because they are traveling through them on the way to Zion. Because they're heavenly minded, they bring earthly good. They make these valleys a place of spring. But not only are they the ones who make it a place of life and springs, but the early rain covers it with pools. In other words, God sends rain before its time, sends rain early to make what you need for a good planting. God covers it with pools. They make it a place of spring. God sends rain and makes it a place of pools. They're blessed in what they bring, and they're blessed in what God gives them because they're making their way to Zion. May we be people on pilgrimage to Zion who make the places where we travel through, the valleys of Baca, places of springs. We carry with us the word of the living water, whose taste of that quenches thirst. May we bring valleys of places of springs, and may the Lord, as we cry out to him, cover our paths with pools of water as we make our pilgrimage to Zion. In fact, the psalmist says that as they go on pilgrimage, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. It's a great phrase, from strength to strength. They're going from one place. They start out strong because they're going with God, and they're brought to another level of strength. They go from strength to another kind of strength, as Paul will say in Corinthians, glory to glory. We go from one kind of strength to another as we go through this life, because God is the one who strengthens us and carries us through, watches our steps. We go from strength until we arrive in the presence of God to a new kind of strength. The psalmist then turns and prays to God. Verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. Now this is an interesting prayer. He's asking God to look on our shield and look on the face of your anointed. Who is the anointed here that the psalmist would be talking about? It would have been the king, right? The Davidic king, the one who was to represent the people before God, the one who is to establish the worship of God, on who the establishment of the kingdom goes. As you read through Kings and 1 Samuel and Kings, you know, well, how does Israel rise and fall? It rises and falls with how faithful the king is to the Lord. And so he's praying for God to look on the face of your anointed. In fact, in many ways, it seems that a lot of these pilgrimages, as the pilgrims would come to the temple, the king would lead the procession. And it's because the king is welcomed in that the people follow along behind him. So, Lord, welcome us into your presence because we are with your anointed. In this, the psalmist looks forward to an even greater welcome into the presence of God on the basis of anointed. We say, pray a similar prayer. Lord God, look on the face of your anointed. Look on Jesus Christ and let us in. We follow in his train. He is the greater Son of David, the true anointed one to all these other anointed ones and kings. Look forward. Look on his shield. Look on his face, that we may enter into your temple, into your presence. Hebrews 4, again, not meditating so much on Christ as the anointed king, but as the anointed priest. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in the time of need. The psalmist then turns and expresses his desire to be and remain in the temple. 84:10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in your house, my God, than dwell in tents of wickedness. The psalmist says, I would rather have one day, or one day in your courts, one day being in your presence is better than 1,000 days I could spend somewhere else. A more literal translation, which I like, for better one day in your courts than 1,000 I have chosen. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 I could choose to do with my time and spend elsewhere. This is the better day, to be where you are. Better than 1,000 days I could choose or pick. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in tents of wickedness. In other words, to do the image, he would rather be a servant standing at the entrance to the temple than dwell in prosperity. And to update the translation, maybe, you know, I would rather be a janitor in your church, Lord, than dwell in mansions. I would rather, another potential translation is, I would rather be a beggar. It's not quite sure. The translation is simply stand at your gate. So that can either mean, you know, stand there serving, which is what it normally means, or it could mean just stand there as like a beggar who is there by the gates. He'd rather be there as the lowest of the low, at the entrance, the very entrance to the courts of God, than dwell in mansions of wickedness. Because it's better to be with and near God. The psalmist closes with God's blessing that he bestows. For the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord God bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. There are actually three benedictions, three blessings in this psalm. We've looked briefly at each of them, but I just want to reiterate them again. First is the blessing on those, declaring blessed those who are already in the house of God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Verse 4. And then a blessing on those who are on pilgrimage to the house of the Lord. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. And lastly is a blessing, an all-encompassing blessing on both those who are already in the house of the Lord and those who are on their way. Verse 12, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Blessed are the pilgrims, those who have completed their pilgrimage and those who are on their way. Blessed are those who are already, who are the dearly departed, if we use this as an image of heaven, who are there in God's presence, ever, forever, singing the praise of God. And blessed are those who are here with us on pilgrimage, going to Zion. This psalm has long been a comfort and hope to believers as they approached death. I ended up on a pilgrimage of my own this afternoon because I saw a reference to a quote from someone who sang this psalm, and I ended up coming across a number of examples where this psalm played a prominent role at the going home of a dear saint. For example, there was a young man named William Hunter, who at 19 years of age was martyred for the sake of the gospel under Queen Mary. He had come to the Reformed faith, and when Queen Mary took the throne, she required everybody to go to Mass. and young William Hunter refused and therefore had to flee because he came under suspicion. And as he was fleeing, he came to a chapel and went in and saw the Bible there on, you know, the big chained up Bible there in the chapel. And he went in and started reading it. And the priest came in and caught him reading it and accused him of being a heretic for reading the Bible and taking it upon himself that he could understand and interpret what was there. Eventually, he was arrested and tried for heresy for reading the Bible and was burned at the stake. And his brother tells of the story where he was burned at the stake, that as he was there being tied to the stake, he had with him a translated Psalter. And there he read, as he was getting ready to be burned, he read this psalm aloud, Psalm 84, expressing his desire, his hope to dwell with the Lord, his desire, his hope of heaven. It says that he read Psalm 84, and as the flames began to burn, he said, God, have mercy on my soul. And then, as the fire got higher, he took his Psalter and threw it to his brother. And his brother said, William, think on the holy passion of Christ and be not afraid of death. And William answered, I am not afraid. Then lifting up his hands to heaven, he said, Lord, 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 receive my spirit. And casting down his head again into the smoldering smoke, he yielded up his life for the truth, sealing it with his blood to the praise of God. A number of years later, there were two young ladies, Isabel Allison and Marion Harvey, who were Covenanters in northern Scotland. And as you know, the story of the Covenanters, they became under great persecution because they refused to conform to the Church of England, and thousands of them were put to death. And these two young ladies, I think they were like 19 and 20, were arrested. And as they were led to the scaffold, as they were standing on the scaffold, they both in unison sang this psalm, Psalm 84. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 I would have chosen, 1,000 elsewhere. Now, those are extreme examples of this psalm being a great encouragement to people as they face death and as they look forward to heaven, giving voice. On a more normal note, but no less profound, Gordon Keddy tells of the Scottish minister Thomas Haliburton, who, when he was on his deathbed in 1712, asked those around him to sing Psalm 84 as he looked forward to his heaven. And afterwards he said, I think many of you will sympathize with this, I know I do. He said, I had always a mistuned voice, a bad ear. In other words, he couldn't sing very well. But which is worst of all, a mistuned heart. But shortly when I join the temple service above, there shall not be, world without end, one string of the affections out of tune. He longed to be part of that heavenly choir, to join with those who sing for joy to the living God with a heart fully tuned to God's tune. And so I pray that as we will turn now and sing a portion of this psalm from Psalm 84, that we would have the same desire of these people, those who looked to Psalm 84 for encouragement as they faced, in many ways, a brutal death, and in others, a normal death, but expressing the hope of heaven, that we would be so heavenly minded that we can be of earthly good. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this psalm and for the generations of your saints who have found in it a voice of their, for their hope for heaven. Lord, may you put in our hearts the highway to Zion. May you put in our hearts a desire to be in your courts that's greater than our what one we would have chosen. Lord, may we long, yes, faint for the courts of the living God, and may you satisfy us with pools of water, with the early rain in the valley of Baca. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.